Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Food Friday, January 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Time again for another one of our regular sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, YouTuber. Today's topic is all about meringues. As you know, there are three types of meringues. Full disclosure, didn't know that till a minute or two ago. Gail told me. I assume that you probably knew and you have plenty of questions. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, if you want to talk about meringue already. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. She brought tasty things. We'll talk about them and take your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. For the first time in 2023, we welcome back our pal, our comrade, Gail Sokol. Gail is a chef, educator, and author. She was a faculty member for years at Schenectady County Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. Gail is the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a successful podcast called Baking Radio and is the star of thousands, perhaps even millions by now, of baking how-to videos on YouTube. Today's topic for the show seems a little bit specific, but we're going to run with it. It's called All About Meringues. The number to call, yes, All About Meringues. The number to call is 800-348-2551. That's 800-348-2551. Or email your meringue thoughts to voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Don't harangue the meringue. Meringues are in a lot of different desserts. So
begin the beginning, yeah, harangue the meringue. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll go with your premise here. There are three types of meringues.
Yes.
And we'll start by talking about, but first let's find out how you are. This is your first show of the year, and it's always great to have you here. Anything new cooking over at your house?
Yeah, well, I just did a most fabulous chocolate mousse cake that's on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It just went out last Monday. It is unbelievable. Four layers of moist chocolate cake, chocolate mousse, and covered with a chocolate ganache. It's so huge. It's like 25 pounds when you make it. It's massive. It's unbelievable. Feeds about 16 to 20 people.
What'd you do with it? Fed about 15?
I actually sent it to the office with my husband.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. Honest.
Okay. No, I believe
honest.
That. You know, Dr. Sokol needs to keep his energy up.
He didn't get any, which is good.
He didn't get any.
Well, he got a sliver. But he's watching his weight. He's got to watch his girlish figure, you know.
All right, fair enough. But if I was Dr. Sokol, I'd put my foot down. Well, anyway, a mousse is basically the same thing as a meringue, right?
No, you have a lot to learn,
yeah,
young man.
All right.
But I want to tell you about what's coming up Monday.
Oh, good.
And that's my Valentine shortbread cookies.
Ooh.
Oh, they melt in your mouth. Dipped in chocolate, scattered with red sugar.
This is a podcast?
No, it's a video.
It's a video on YouTube.
It's amazing. Coming up on Monday, next Monday. This coming Monday.
Well, you're shooting it or you're going to air
it? We already shot it. It's in the can, man.
Okay.
It's going to go up on Monday.
And I have links to your page, but
Of course,
I can't remember the URL now while we're on the air. Tell us how people can find that.
First, you can go to my website, chefgailsokol.com, and you can get to the YouTube channel, or you can just go to YouTube, look up Chef Gail Sokol. I have literally hundreds, maybe not millions.
Not millions?
Slightly
exaggerating.
Did
I overstate it again?
Yeah, there are hundreds and hundreds of videos that are amazing.
Okay,
they really
how
are.
Long, and I've asked you this before, but if you have done hundreds,
yes,
how long does it take to do one?
It depends. If I am really, really, you know, experimenting with different things, sometimes it can take a couple of weeks, a month, you know, and then my family will say, okay, enough of that. Enough chocolate mousse cakes. Enough. Let's move on. So then I will take a break and then I'll go back and video the best version that I like. But I have different riffs on different things. It usually takes us most of 1 week and day. So let's say all of Saturday, all of Sunday,
yeah,
with a late dinner.
Yeah.
So we're taping about maybe 5, 6, 7 hours.
All right, that's hundreds and hundreds of hours
well,
of shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, my daughter's the videographer. She works hard. We have great, great, great success, and she's a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous helper. She's an attorney by day and a videographer on the weekends.
What's her billable hour for that?
I know. Well, I probably underpay her, but I do pay her a little stipend.
Pay her in moose cake.
I did.
Chef Gail Sokol is our guest on Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll get to the calls in a little bit. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And as you know, when Gail is on this show, she picks the topic. She's the expert. She's one of our many regular guests. And so I leave it to her. But I got to say, Chef Gail, what possessed you to be this specific?
It's really not specific. It's more like egg whites are real. I mean, I could have called it egg whites are really a major player in the ingredient list for baking.
Right.
They hold air. They're complete proteins. They're just straight protein. There's no fat in them. And when you make a meringue, you cannot have any fat.
Why?
So, because your meringue will not beat up at all. I've had students have one little bit of grease in their bowl, and the meringue, the egg whites, will not beat up. So let's start with the definition of a meringue.
Okay.
Okay, let's start from the basics.
All right.
And that is an egg white or egg whites with granulated sugar, beaten and beaten and beaten until air is forced into those proteins. They denature a little bit, little granules of sugar getting caught inside.
What does denature mean?
Denature means proteins get denatured. So a natural protein, if you looked at it under an electron microscope, I know you're a real
which
scientist.
Which you have.
Oh, of course
in the kitchen.
I have. Of course.
Okay.
So it looks like a piece of curly hair.
Okay.
Or a pig's tail. Okay, you can picture that. You like lots of.
I like pigs. What you're saying is
I like
pigs.
Ribs.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, so a coiled piece of protein is what natural protein would look like. As you heat it or beat it, it will unwind and straighten out a little bit. And it gets these arm-like projections, and they gently hold on to one another, and they thicken, and they hold air in between them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay? So almost like paper dolls. You don't want them to get too close. If they get too close, you're going to end up with soap suds, like if you put too much soap in the washing machine. Do you ever see, like, really dry, tight suds? That you don't want your meringues to look like. You want them to be soft and creamy.
Okay.
And it depends on the type of meringue, you know, that you make for what you want to actually build in a recipe.
Yep. Well, that's interesting.
Okay.
Gail Sokol's our guest. I'm not sure if I follow this whole business of the strands going arm in arm, but we're going to get into this a little further. It's all about meringues today. The number is 800-348-2551. So you got the egg whites, the denaturing has happened, you beat the daylights out of it. What happens next?
Okay, so usually you put room temperature egg whites. Egg whites, you know, do you ever crack an egg? You have cracked an egg, right?
Not really that good in the kitchen.
Okay, poor Mrs. Graff.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
So she's cracking the egg, let's say, and the white comes out. Let's say it's straight from the refrigerator. It's pretty thick and viscous. So there's a surface tension that egg whites have. And you need to break that surface tension by allowing them to get to room temperature. The surface tension is broken, and you can beat more air into them.
Okay.
So you want to leave them at room temperature. So I usually separate my eggs, put the yolks, you know, save them for something else, a custard, ice cream, whatever. And then I take my whites, put them in a bowl, and leave them out for about an hour.
Okay.
Okay? At room temperature. And then you put them in your electric mixer. Okay.
Right.
With a whip attachment. It looks like a whisk.
Okay.
The whip attachment.
Sure.
You know what that is.
Right.
And then you add, after they get like medium high, you want to get like, they get foamy.
Okay.
You want to add a stabilizer like cream of tartar or lemon juice. Just a little
bit.
Either
one?
Either one.
So the acid?
An acid, exactly.
Okay.
So an acid will help with that denaturing and actually break down that protein. So it'll accept air. It will not make them more voluminous, but it will make them more stable.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then you start adding your sugar, but you add it slowly, maybe a tablespoon at a time. You may be adding half a cup to a cup, depending on how many egg whites you are making, and you keep beating.
Stop. Yes. Why do you have to go slow? I've always wondered this, you know, carefully, slowly add so and so. What? Just dump it in.
If you dump it in, the dumping method is with certain things, but in this case, no.
Really?
Slower, yeah, a little bit slowly, because that'll help each bit of sugar that is added to get absorbed and actually help build that network of proteins that really becomes very voluminous.
Okay.
All right. And then you beat them to various stages. It could be the soft stage method, where you pick up the beater, you stop your machine, you pick up the beater, and they don't form stiff peaks, but they sort of fall over on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Those are soft peaks. Some recipes, like first.
So that's one type of meringue.
That's one. Gotcha. No. That's not even a
We're
type
not even
of
there
meringue.
Yet?
No.
Oh, good heavens.
No, sir. And then stiff peaks is when you beat the heck out of them at high speed, and then when you take the beater up, they stand up in stiff peaks like a mountaintop.
Okay.
All right? So those are the three stages of a meringue. But meringues, the three types are the common meringue or the French meringues. Those are the same, two names for the same thing. And that's usually a 1-to-1 ratio of egg whites to sugar. Cup of egg whites, cup of sugar, or you can do it by weight. And then, though, that's more like your topping for your lemon meringue pie.
Sure.
That's a common meringue.
Okay.
It's not cooked. You know, it is
raw
basically
eggs?
It's raw
is that
eggs.
Okay?
It's okay. It depends. Not many hens carry salmonella, but you do have to be careful.
Yeah.
It's about 1 in 10,000, maybe even
so you
less.
So if you have this specific meringue, you have a 1 in 10,000 chance of dying. Let's leave it right there.
Gail
Sokol's our guest. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. All about meringues, the lethal kind and the non-lethal kind. More on the way. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chef Gail Sokol about the kind of meringue that is okay to eat and the kind that killed a guy once. And this is all about what's going on here.
I never said any of that.
Really?
No.
I think,
no.
Zach, we could roll the tape back.
No,
I think she said
no.
It, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. We got a little confusion.
All right, fine.
So So the common meringue, we went over the common meringue, correct?
Yeah, right.
All right, the 1-to-1 ratio.
1-to-1,
not
it's raw,
cooked.
It might get you.
It is raw, stop it. And
right.
Then you blowtorch it or you put it under the broiler to brown it. Haven't you ever had a lemon meringue pie?
I have.
Okay.
I didn't know it required a blowtorch.
Or a broiler.
Okay.
Blowtorches are a little bit easier to use.
You can get small ones. I've seen you use the blowtorch. It's all right.
Oh, I did. You're right.
Yes.
It was only a tiny fire. It really wasn't.
And the
that
fire
big
department did. Didn't mind coming. It was fine.
So that is a common meringue. If you are worried about salmonella in your area or, you know, in your hens, there is a way that you can put the egg whites over warm water and heat them up a little bit.
Yeah.
But now we're going into the second type of meringue, which is known as a Swiss meringue. So think of that cocoa mix that we shall remain nameless, but it reminds you of Swiss meringue. Swiss Miss Cocoa,
Yeah, sure.
So that's how
I
remember.
I'm a little slow on the uptake. I don't drink coffee anymore. who's here? Oh, it's Gail. Okay, go ahead.
So Swiss Miss, I'm sorry, not Swiss Miss, but Swiss meringue. Now you got me doing it.
You want a cup of coffee?
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Swiss meringue is the egg whites are warmed.
Right.
They're warmed over a double boiler, and you add your sugar to that and dissolve the sugar, and then you pour that into your mixing bowl, or you can even put the mixing bowl into the double boiler as long as the water is not touching the bottom.
Right.
And then you whisk until it gets warm. That also not cooks them, but it heats them up a little bit, and they will actually beat up even more. They'll be a little more stable.
Interesting. So stiffer peaks from
not,
the Swiss.
Not necessarily stiffer peaks, but you'll get you'll get a slightly more stable meringue that'll last a little longer.
Uh-huh.
Now, the most stable meringue ever, take notes, Italian meringues.
Really?
Those are the most stable meringues you can make. And that's because you make a sugar syrup. So you take granulated sugar and water and you boil that, almost like you're making caramel, and you boil it to about a 240 degrees and it looks like volcanic bubbles when you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then you put your egg whites, you get those ready, put them in your electric mixing bowl with your whip, get them to soft peaks. And on the down the side of the bowl, you put your hot sugar syrup. And that does, in essence, not it doesn't totally cook them, but it will cook them. Don't smile.
But
it will cook them up to a point and make the most stable meringues. And you will get a really stiff peak there.
You know, I was only kidding about killing the guy with the, I mean, I've eaten 1,000 meringue pies
yes,
in my life.
Yes, and you're still here.
Somewhat. What'd you bring?
I brought you an Eaton mess. So I did not make that up. I don't know how it got its name, other than it's very, very well known, served all the time in Eton College, you know, in England.
Yeah.
So they take meringue, usually like a plain meringue.
Which kind of meringue? The Swiss, the German,
It could probably be any of them, but you can bake a common meringue. Probably a common meringue.
Okay.
This is a common meringue. I did not warm anything.
That's so good.
So I made strips of, I put cocoa in mine. So it would have, you know, I sort of zhuzhed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I have strips of meringue that I piped out, and then I broke them into pieces. And Eaton mess is just broken meringue with whipped cream sort of plopped on the top and mixed in. You can add chopped up fruit. You can add, the one I put on your website has a boozy cherry sauce with Kirschwasser or cherry liqueur.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. I also have caramel sauce on here. On this one, I have chocolate whipped cream.
That's so good.
And instead
cookies,
of plain.
Too, right?
No, the cookies are the meringue.
You're kidding me. They're
no.
crunchy as all get out.
You can bake meringues. Did you see the versatility of meringues?
Yeah.
That's like
a cookie.
That is like a. And have you ever had a meringue mushroom?
No.
Well, they're like this, but they're shaped like an actual mushroom.
Oh, that's cool.
They're very cool. They're put on, you know, things for Christmas time called, you know, bûche de Noël. You know, that log that it's supposed to look like an actual log from the forest. You're smiling at me.
I celebrate Christmas, but I've never seen any logs.
They look like real meringue mushrooms. They look like real mushrooms.
Yeah.
No joke.
Cool.
They're in my Baking with Success cookbook. So meringues are amazing. So Eaton mess is served at Eton College in England.
Right.
When they have their cricket games. And the students are fed Eaton mess.
Before the game or after the game?
I think after the game.
Yeah, that's a better plan.
After the game.
Yeah.
But I get, yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
But I think it's called mess because it's really not, I mean, I sort of made mine a little bit prettier.
Yours is a beautiful presentation. You're not kidding anyone.
But it doesn't have to be like this. It could just be broken up meringue, and they can be individual. You could put them in parfait cups. Just plop your meringue, you know, your whipped cream on. Dust it with a little cocoa powder. You can put on some raspberries. Anything you want. Jam that's melted down.
Delicious.
Anything.
In Britain, they use brown ale and fish, I believe, on this.
On their Eaton mess?
No?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Let's grab a call here before I talk to you about how you made this meringue to be so much that it crispy that it fooled me into thinking it was a cookie. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. It's all about meringues with Chef Gail Sokol. Joan is in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm actually almost out of my COVID isolation period.
Oh, my goodness.
Good thing that we can't send it over the phone.
Yeah, not yet.
But I'm doing fine. And Ray, without coffee, don't you need to like put a public warning out or something?
Don't I sound with it? No, I'm fine. It's all good.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
Gail,
yes.
Good to talk with you again. And my question about meringue, first off, your science lesson at the beginning was just superb.
Yes.
And
thank
it
you.
Blends with my question. A friend and I were inventing something the other day with, you know, I think we ended up with a butternut puree-ing, topped with the common meringue, and then broiled the top. It was superb. But she made me do the meringue in her copper bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was the same, the little bit of cream of tartar. And I actually use my own human power with the whip, and got the meringue just fine.
Excellent.
Do you know why there was special magic with the copper in creating the firmness of the meringue?
Yes, and that was actually created because that stabilizes the meringue instead of cream of tartar or lemon juice. It's sort of acts as a stabilizer. The copper will actually sort of little bits, not, you know, nothing that's going to kill anybody, but it will just rub off enough that there's just a little bit in that meringue and actually stabilize that albumin, the proteins in the egg. Yeah, in the egg whites. That's
cool.
And you do it, you know, with your manually and get a lot of exercise doing that, build up a big sweat making that meringue. Yeah. Yeah, it works.
Oh, but it's fun to feel the change right through your arm.
Yes.
You can feel when it's starting to stabilize.
Yes.
So it was just simple elemental chemistry.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's so much of baking is chemistry. Joan, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that's why you are you're so strict about following recipes.
Yeah, you really
have to be.
You've
yelled at me countless times on the show.
You have to be. You don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be more careful than cooking. It's not like adding an extra clove of garlic. You do have to. You can't say, "Oh, that's a powder. I'll add that instead." If it's sugar versus flour or something else.
Gail Sokol is our guest, and she means business. It's all about meringues today on the program. 800-348-2551. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Nehemiah says, "Have you ever made pavlova? It's the best kind of meringue."
Absolutely.
What is that?
Matter of fact, I was going to make you a pavlova. I actually have made you a pavlova in the previous years.
Of course you did, yes.
So a pavlova is also a common meringue that instead of, I piped this one out, this Eaton mess, I piped it out into sort of logs with a pastry bag. A pavlova, you can actually trace like a circle, like a 9-inch circle, or you can even do individual ones, like 3 or 4 inch circles on a pastry, on a sheet pan with parchment paper. And then you just smear your meringue over each circle so that you have one big one that you can use and put whipped cream on and chocolate sauce and anything, you know, you want. So it's more, it can either be individual or it can be a big one, and you bake it and it's a little creamier inside. So it has a little more of a gooiness inside because it doesn't bake as long. It's more low and slow versus this, which this Eaton mess was baked at 350, which is pretty high for a meringue, for about 13 minutes. Super easy.
Amazing.
That's it.
You know, I got to say, you could be very strict, but you're a genius. I mean, you've been very tough on me over the years, but you really do amazing work. This is so delicious. It's insane.
Good.
Let's take another call here. 800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol is here. If you're nice, she's not going to yell at you. Aaron in Clifton Park. Aaron, you're on.
Hi, I was calling because I wanted to know, I recently was trying to make meringue, and so I separated my eggs and stuff, but afterwards I was wondering, what would happen if you just used the cartoned egg whites from the refrigerated section as opposed to separating all your eggs?
Okay, Aaron, that actually makes total sense. Like, why would you take, you know, waste the yolk or have to deal with the yolk if you could just get a carton of egg whites? Well, I've done it, I've tried it, and it depends on the brand, it depends on the whites. You must look at the fine print on that carton, and if it says it cannot be beaten into a meringue, some of them have other ingredients in them, you know, preservatives and emulsifiers and all this other stuff, okay, and they won't beat up.
Interesting.
They won't beat up. So what you can do with them, you can bake with them in a cake or something like that, or make an omelet, but you can't make a meringue. So make sure you look and see if it says not to be used for a meringue. Some of them will not accept air, and you can't beat them
up.
Do
they have to say that? Or will they say it on the side of every...
It should. And if there's other things in them, be aware. So maybe just keep separating those eggs and do it like that. Because, you know, you can freeze use your egg whites, Erin. So if I make something with yolks and I, you know, if I'll do like three or four egg whites in a airtight container, date it, label it, and you can store it in the freezer for 3 or 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Well, Erin, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Shelley writes in, can Chef Gail talk about meringue made from chickpea juice?
Yes. Aquafaba.
Aquafaba.
Aquafaba, which I have never liked that. I love chickpeas. I just wanted, you know, to go on record. I love them. But I just, you take the juice and you, it will hold air, but it's very, very temporary. So it doesn't hold the air for long.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't care for the flavor. I don't care for it. When I tried it, if you have chickpeas that have salt in them, it works, I think, a little bit better than unsalted. If you take something that doesn't have a lot of salt, it doesn't really work as well. So I have had iffy results. Okay. I'm not a big fan of the aquafaba meringue.
What about aquavelva?
That's a different story.
Okay, that might make a really good meringue. Michelle and Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hi, Chef Sokol.
Hi.
So my grandmother used to make something called a heavenly pie, and it sounds similar to the pavlova that you were talking about, except she would put it in a, you know, a pie pan, the meringue, and sort of just make this beautiful little shell, bake it, and then take it out and let it cool and fill it with whipped cream, and then she would sprinkle, like, cinnamon on top.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering if you've ever heard of that. It was always called heavenly pie, and we as kids would be so excited for holidays or special occasions because she'd make this.
You know what? It sounds very much like a pavlova. It just sounds like a variation of a pavlova, and your grandma knew, you know, maybe didn't know that. Pavlova was named after the ballerina Anna Pavlova.
Sure.
Many, many years ago. So, you know, maybe it's something that she got a riff on in a different recipe that she had used growing up and her mom had used growing up. But that basically, in a nutshell, is a pavlova in a pan. So, yeah,
okay.
That sounds, yeah, it sounds great.
It was delicious. You would just slice it up like pie.
Yes.
And, you know, people would just go crazy for it.
Yes. And you can even add more than just cinnamon and whipped cream. You could put fruit on there. You could drizzle it with melted chocolate or chocolate shards or anything you want.
Love it.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right, Michelle. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. I was going to talk to you about how these bits of meringue in this eaten mess that you made taste and remind me so much of cookies, but I think Sarah near Lake George is going to broach that topic. Sarah, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to say my mother makes hazelnut meringue cookies every year for Passover because they don't have flour and that they're also great for meringue in general for people who are gluten-free.
Yes, you are correct. They're fabulous. For anybody that wants to be gluten-free or just can't have any type of flour product, they're wonderful. And I've made them for Passover myself. You can use different nuts. And that's where my meringue mushrooms come in, too, because they have no flour. I mean, it's the same type of thing. And they're baked similar to what I did with the Eaten Mess, but they're shaped. You can shape them in different ways. You know, you could pipe them out of a pastry bag, or you could just spoon them. You could make star, you know, like put star tip on your pastry bag. You could do all sorts of things and shape them, even for Valentine's Day, into heart shapes.
Oh.
That would be yummy. And you can even dye half of the batter of the egg whites of the meringue, like pink. So you would have, you know, these hearts, very, very nice, very easy to make, and everybody would love them. And they are gluten-free, so no excuses for anyone to say, I can't eat that. So that's a great idea, Sarah.
What if you're diabetic?
Oh, that, you know,
that's
what?
An excuse.
That's an excuse. But yeah, you could probably use a sugar substitute. You'd have to be careful.
Sarah, you want to follow up?
I just had a quick question. I think I've used pasteurized eggs to make a buttercream frosting with meringue. Is that a way you can do it to avoid salmonella?
Did you catch that,
no,
Gail? All right, try it again. You dropped out for a second, Sarah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying
I think I've tried finding pasteurized eggs to make a buttercream with meringue. Is that a way that will it still cook up for meringue without having to worry about salmonella?
Yes, pasteurization has definitely killed some. Salmonella is killed at 160 degrees Fahrenheit. So pasteurization is the whole purpose is to kill any bacteria in there. Yes.
Sarah, thanks for the call. We got to take a break here. Chef Gail Sokol is back for 2023. And on our first edition this day, we talk about meringues on the program. 800-348-2551. And frankly, I'm a bit surprised. It's going pretty well. We'll be back. When I think meringue, I think the blues. And there we go. 800-348-2551 is our number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol, always bluesy and always here on the program with something new. We're talking in the break. You'd mentioned the pavlova being basically another name for meringue. And then there are some other sub-variants you were telling me about.
Pavlova is a type of meringue, a type of Swiss meringue, but there's also something called a vacherin. And that is, it can be individual, you can make a big one, and it usually has an indentation in it so that you could put a scoop of sorbet, which I have done, and then you can cover it with either a little whipped cream or some fresh fruit. And I love doing like a raspberry sorbet in there, and then you get the cold, creamy, you know, from the sorbet and the crunch from the vacherin. So it's, and you dust everything with powdered sugar. Everything gets dusted with, and this got dusted with powdered sugar, the Eaton mess. So there's a lot of different, there's a lot you can bake with the meringues. What do you think sponge cakes do? They take meringue. You separate your eggs. Separated egg foams are sponge cakes. So you make a batter with the yolk. And then you make a meringue separately in a separate clean, dry bowl, grease-free. And then you fold the meringue into the batter to lighten it. And that's what leavens the cake. There's no chemical leavener in
it. That's how you make a sponge cake?
That's how you make a sponge
cake.
Good
heavens, Gail, you just solved a mystery in my house because I've been trying to find sponge cake boxes in the store, and I can't find them.
I know. Well, you can buy an angel food cake in the store.
But that's not the same.
Well, that's a sponge cake.
But not the one I want.
Okay, not the one you want. No, you have to make it. Talk to Mrs. Graff. I bet she'll make
one. We've been trying to figure it out.
It's not hard.
I have an old family recipe that I want to make, but we tried it with angel food cake. Not what I'm looking for.
Okay, angel food cake has all egg whites in it, and then you fold in dry ingredients, sometimes combination of flour and a little cornstarch to lighten it, and that's it. But a separated sponge cake has a batter separate that's a little heavier, and then you make the meringues separate, and then you put them together and fold them together, that's light and fluffy. Yum.
You have solved it. Thank you, Chef Gail. This email from Shears. I love the guest. How can I store egg yolks?
Storage of egg yolks is a little trickier than egg whites. Commercially, egg yolks can be stored because they usually have other ingredients in them. There may be sugar in them. There may be some other preservatives. Egg yolks are tough. I don't usually freeze my egg yolks. I have read that people have done it. I have never had good luck doing it. I don't recommend it. So if you have egg yolks, think about, be strategic. Make ice cream. Make a custard. Make something that you can actually use the egg yolk for, or stick an extra yolk in an omelet or something like that. The whites are much more durable. They will freeze very nicely.
Interesting. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's all about meringues today. RJ is in Saugerties. RJ.
Hello. It's a wonderful show.
Thank you.
So I am wondering about savory meringues. I love meringues. And I don't think I've ever seen savory, and that's what I'm curious about.
Interesting.
Okay,
Can you do such a thing?
I have never had a savory meringue. I can't see why you couldn't do it. You know, I think the one thing that might be fun is to make a savory meringue with herbs. Because if you put any fat in a meringue, it's going to deflate. So you can't put cheese in it as you're baking it because it won't firm up. But if you made, let's say, an herby meringue and you left all the sugar, you wouldn't be able to use sugar. You'd have to be super careful.
Right.
Maybe a little salt, too much salt, and your meringue is going to sort of cave in a little bit. If you did that and just piped it out and baked it, you could actually crunch it up and serve it over a salad, like a crouton almost, or over a soup. Just thinking off the top of my head right now, that sounds like a great idea. Note to self. Yeah, that's something you might want to try, RJ, but be careful. You can't put any fat in that meringue or it won't beat up.
Well, I'm hoping you'll try. Anyway, there's so many powdered things around. I was thinking also maybe you could get dried beets and powder them in the blender, blitz them for a minute, and do...
You could do that. You could add dried beets
like
to your meringue. Yeah.
It would be... Basically zero-calorie cracker.
You could do that. You could do that. Yes. That's very interesting. Very interesting.
Way
you
to think
that.
Outside the box, yeah. RJ. Good job. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And this email from Sharon. Is divinity fudge actually an Italian meringue?
Yeah.
What's divinity fudge?
Yeah.
Something the Pope has? What is that?
No, it's actually... based on a meringue. So that's all it is. It's based on a meringue. And a lot of these, I mean, you're saying meringue is meringue and that's, you know, it's very like one dimensional. It is in so many different desserts.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
I know, right? It's a good thing.
I've done it again.
And you said it in front of a few people. But there are things that you can even do with meringues. You could poach a meringue. And Julia Child did that in French. That it's called œuf de neige, which is basically eggs in snow or floating islands. They're known as, and a lot of people might have had that. So it's a poached. You make a meringue,
right?
And you make a common meringue, and then you just take a spoonful. You know how they shape like two spoons, and you scoop and you scoop, so it's almost like a oblong, like an elliptical shape. You don't know.
No,
okay, whatever.
No. An alpha and omega? What are you talking about here? I really don't know.
So you make like an elliptical shape with your, just go with it, with,
all right,
with
fine.
Your meringue.
Yes, I do know that.
And you put it into something like simmering milk or water, and you poach it for 2 or 3 minutes, and then you serve it over a custard sauce, like a vanilla custard sauce, and that you could use your egg yolks in.
Your
crème anglaise. So, you know, the French know that, and floating islands are very an old-fashioned dessert, but very cool to serve.
Do you speak French?
Un peu.
Oh, a little?
Very, very little bit.
All right, may we. Let's go to line and Devin in Canaan, Connecticut. You're on.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just want to say to the host, you're very funny. You remind me of the guy that was on Dog Show with some of your comments.
Who, me?
They're so funny. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What do you mean? What's
you
the dog
so
show?
Funny. The Aqua Velva was hysterical.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Do you have a question
you're
for
welcome.
Chef Gail?
I sure do.
Sweet.
So I'm the pastry chef at the Southfield store in Southfield, Mass.
Neato.
I have a new assistant. We make Italian meringue for our lemon meringue tarts. Whenever I make it, it comes out perfect. When he tries to make it, for some reason, it always fails. Our ratio of egg whites to simple syrup, if you call it that, you know, the sugar with a little water in it, is the sugar is 1 pound 4 ounces. The egg whites are 10 ounces. I take a pastry brush while the sugar syrup is cooking so it doesn't crystallize. I dunk it in water and rub it on the edge. And then I put it in frothy eggs and whip it for about 5 minutes. It comes out perfect.
Okay.
He keeps swishing the pastry brush, dunking it in water around the edge of the pot while the simple syrup is cooking. So his simple syrup is much more waterier than mine.
Okay.
So I think that's the problem. that he's adding too much water to his sugar mixture.
That,
what do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like he's actually, you know, the water's being held in the brush, in the pastry brush, and he needs to sort of brush it off. Like, you know, if you paint your nails, you brush that nail, you know, that brush off so that the excess water is gone. You don't want to add water. You just want to make sure you prevent crystals from starting to seed on the side of the pot. That's all you want to do. And make sure he's measuring properly. Make sure he's measuring his ingredients properly.
He's very, very specific. He's a very scientific, book smart chef, which is kind of funny that he can't make a meringue.
Well, but you know, is he boiling his syrup long enough? Is he getting the viscosity he needs? Is it going?
He's boiling it to 240, 45 degrees.
Okay, I think he might be adding too much liquid, so he's got too much water per, you know, per sugar ratio.
How long's he been working there, Devin? How long's he been working for you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been working there. It'll be a year in April. I absolutely love it. We have beautiful pastries and baked goods. Please come on down and visit us.
Oh, we can't say that on public
Sounds
radio.
Sounds yummy.
By the way, good luck, and I hope your employee works out real well. If you have to fire him, you know, you have to do what you have to do. But, Devin, thanks very much for the call. 800-348-2551. You see?
Yeah.
You're helping a lot of people, Chef Gal. You're warming my heart, my three-chambered heart. This email from Carl. Salzburger Nockerl, Austrian meringue confection. My mom made them to impress my dad, but they're both gone now. Any suggestions how to make them?
I have never made one, but it is if you Googled that, you could probably find a nice recipe. It's basically, you know, a baked meringue, but it's very fluffy. You don't bake it as long as a cookie. It's got, you know, more whites to sugar, and it's softer. It's a soft thing. It's not going to be as hard as a meringue like this.
But is it more difficult? You haven't made them, and
it's not. No, meringues are not difficult. The three rules you must remember.
Okay, I'm ready.
A clean bowl.
Clean bowl.
I mean clean, Ray. Not one iota of grease or any type of dirt or, you know, any type of previous ingredient that was in there.
Right.
Must be clean and dry.
10-4. Dry,
okay.
Too. Okay.
Dry.
Is that
dry.
Number two?
That's number two.
Okay.
Clean, and then
dry.
Clean, dry, and grease-free. One little tiny, if you have a little swipe of oil or butter or something in that bowl, or you made a cake batter in that bowl before, make sure you wash that bowl out and dry it with paper towels, not a kitchen towel, because that could have residual grease from your hands or from ingredients.
I mean, we're not making microchips here.
You know what? I'm just being specific. You asked me, and that will get you a guaranteed, I will guarantee you a perfect meringue if you do that each time.
Okay, assuming I had a molecule of grease in the bowl, what is that going to do?
That is going to make it so that your meringue will not be to stiff peaks. You will be doing it for several minutes. I had students that did that. I think they were beating for 15 minutes. And if it was going to happen, it would have happened. So they said, what went wrong, Chef Sokol? And I said, you had some debris or some grease in that bowl. Guaranteed. Even if it's soap suds, Ray, even if it's something like a dishwashing detergent, that has enough greasiness in there that'll prevent that meringue from beating up to its full potential.
That is so amazing. Gail Sokol, you really know your stuff. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to get a last-minute meringue question in. And once again, the recipe for this is located at your website, right?
It's on my website, and I did a takeoff on this one. This one I made slightly different with fruit. But the one on your website and my website is a Black Forest mess. And that has the boozy cherry sauce.
It has the Kirschwasser in there.
It has the Kirschwasser in it, which is the cherry liqueur. You could use anything else you wanted. And it also has the chocolate whipped cream as well. And I made chocolate shards. I even have a recipe for chocolate shards
you
on my website.
You made those yourself?
Yes.
How'd you do that?
All you do is melt some chocolate, take some semi-sweet or bittersweet chocolate, not unsweetened, and melt it down over a double boiler, just a little bit. And then take a piece of parchment paper on a sheet pan, and then then smear it very thin with an offset spatula or a butter knife or whatever. Put it in the refrigerator and then take it out and start rolling up your parchment paper. Just rolling it up like in a coil, and it will break the chocolate into shards.
Oh, genius.
That's it.
That's amazing.
That's it.
By the way, while we're on the topic of parchment paper, why doesn't it catch on fire?
It is a silicone. It's got some silicone in it, and that is heat proof. But don't put wax paper in the oven. I've gotten many people that'll say, I use wax paper, and that
burn
sort of
my
melts
house
it.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll melt, so don't do that.
Okay,
don't
fair enough, that. Chef Gail Sokol. What's coming up? Now, I know you're doing the video this weekend, or you're posting it.
Remember, I do about 3 or 4, sometimes 5 videos on a day, almost kill my daughter, and then we start posting them for the following several weeks. So upcoming is my chocolate Valentine hearts, the shortbread hearts for Valentine's Day. They're amazing. They will melt in your mouth, and they're huge. They're beautiful. You can make them as big or as tiny as you want. I like them big.
Okay, and then what's coming up on your shoot schedule? What
are
you planning
schedule,
on doing?
I am planning on a beautiful beautiful streusel coffee cake and a cheesecake, a strawberry cheesecake.
Have you ever thought about getting a TV show?
I have, Ray.
Well, why don't you do
it? You want to do it with me?
Well,
I would love to.
I see food shows on the local cable
channels. Yes.
Why don't you get one of those?
I'm working on it.
I can't imagine they pay too well.
You know what? I'm working on it. I would love to do that. That's my passion.
All right,
I love
it. Maybe an agent will call Gail Sokol.
Please, please. Contact me on my website, chefgailsokol.com. No joke.
All right, this email, I see. The last caller was referring to the mockumentary Best in Show. There you go. You ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, great stuff. All right, Gail, well, you got 2 minutes to kill. Talk.
No pressure.
No, go ahead.
So you can actually pipe meringues and make a cake out of it.
Oh.
A décoise. Leave it to the French, okay? Mm-hmm. So a décoise is just layered. These are also common meringues or French meringues, just the easiest type. And you pipe it out into rectangular shapes. You could do 3 rectangles. You could do 2 9-inch circles. And then you could put buttercream in between.
Ooh.
You could put ganache in between. And over time, if you frost it or fill it, over time you put it in your fridge. You cover the whole thing with buttercream or whatever you want. The meringue softens, and you cut it, and it's like, oh.
It's a confection.
It's so incredibly good, and you're almost done with your eating
mess. But I'm looking at exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
So you had the bits of meringue that were quite crispy in the beginning.
Yes, and I just put them on right before I left to come here, about 1:30, and now they're softened with that creaminess of that chocolate whipped cream, and it just softens them enough. They don't get mushy, but they're... And this is a dessert that's best eaten within like an hour of making it.
Definitely. I don't want to leave us 2 days. It'll be mush.
Right. It'll be a little mush. It's softer.
Can you go one day?
Yes, you could absolutely go one day. Yes.
Well,
yes.
By the way, before you go, we have 30 seconds. What's up with the price of eggs?
You know what? I bought 2 18 count packages.
$17.
3 weeks ago. No, so they're more expensive now. And I don't even want to think about it.
You can't freeze whole eggs, though.
No,
right?
No.
What happens?
You mean a whole egg in its natural shell?
Yeah.
Oh, Ray.
Why can't you do that?
Yeah. It's a porous shell. It's calcium carbonate. It's going to take in moisture from the freezer and smells from other...
Put it in a Ziploc.
You try it, and you come back and report back to me.
Have you tried it?
No.
Why won't you try it?
Because I don't think anyone's ever successfully done such a thing.
Why don't you make a book entitled Freezing Eggs for Professionals or something like that? All right, Gail.
No.
Well, we're done here, and this was fun. Thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
We'll see you next time. Support comes from Farms to Tables, presenting the Epicurean in Rhinecliff, a neighborhood grocery market featuring local produce and coffee, and Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, local organic and sustainable groceries for all. Open to the public daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Home delivery available online at honestweight.coop. Zach, the engineer, is nodding off. We're done now, Zach. You got another show coming up. Maybe that will keep you awake. Thanks again to Chef Gail Sokol for being here today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Joe Makowitz, who was He was here on Monday. He's back again today. I think he came for the food. We will see you on Monday at 2 p.m. for a Medical Monday. Meantime, have a splendid weekend.